The Best of Tenacious Living Radio is a fun and conversational style show showing how our guests ignited their own spirit of tenacity and how you can too. Host Carrie Ann Barron is excited to bring you the best of our grassroots shows.
Welcome to Tenacious Living Radio Show, where you can transform overwhelm with grace, gratitude, and tenacity. Featuring your host, Carrie Ann Barron, intuitive life coach, integrated energy therapy practitioner, certified peer worker, fearless life trainer, international best-selling author, and Ironman triathlete. Carrie Ann helps individuals regain control of their life by moving into a space of possibilities. Carrie Ann's guests will be sharing their own experiences and knowledge, transforming their overwhelm with tenacity and more. And now, here's your host, Carrie Ann Barron.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tenacious Living Radio Show. I am coming to you live from Vancouver, BC this week. We've been having some wonderful weather here. Today it's been a little rainy, but it's a beautiful, beautiful location to be calling you from. And we have an amazing guest in our virtual green room sitting in Calgary, Alberta. And I just wanted to say thank you so much to everyone for tuning in. If you're a first-time listener, it's wonderful to have you here. As you heard in the introduction, Tenacious Living is all about welcoming opportunities, becoming aware, and being willing to take chances and expand your comfort zone and see what else is out there for you. And today, our topic is very much in line with that. It is the evolution of you and creating what happens next. What I want to say is the topic for our show today is the evolution of you, creating what happens next. And our speaker, our guest, is Dixie Bennett. She's evolutionary body whisperer and life strategist. Dixie is a luminary leader in the healing arts of Bowen therapy, craniosacral, and emotional release, Reiki master and teacher. She's an evolutionary life strategist and speaker. And through her own evolution of three near-death experiences, self-discovery, and healing, Dixie left 16 years in industries such as retail and oil and gas behind to pursue her passion and purpose of helping others. Each and every one of you has a story that started the day you were born. Each experience of love, hurt, bullying, anger, success, failure, loss, fear, joy, frustration is all unique to you. Each decision you've made has created the evolution of you, your story. It has brought you here to this exact moment. And Dixie calls this the evolutionary edge, where nothing is yet written, where we can create whatever happens next. And when working with Dixie, she can see the unseen threads, your experiences, woven together that create the physical experience of your life. Over time, when these issues have not been dealt with, they can cause issues in your tissues, which can lead to disease or critical illness. Dixie helps you get to the core of your pain, finds your voice, stand in your power, and help you realize that you can create whatever is to happen next. Opportunities are limitless, and you can live a magical life. Dixie, welcome to Tenacious Living Radio. How are you today?
I'm good, Carrie. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Oh, it's so exciting. You're calling us from Calgary, correct?
Yes.
The topic that we're going to be talking about, creating what happens next, the evolution of you, that, you know, it speaks to everything that we want to share with the world. But I'd like to know a little bit more about your story, specifically, because in your bio, we talked about your own evolution of three near-death experiences and healing. And so how did you get here? How did you come to do what you do now?
Thanks, Carrie. Good question. I, like everyone, you know, we all go through challenges through our life, and it's how we choose to overcome them or how we choose to stay in the cycle of the pain. And over many years, I had developed severe chronic pain, and I was just really kind of miserable. I was living in a body of an 80-year-old woman that was just really broken, and nobody could really help me find out what that was. And through a couple of pretty life life-changing experiences, near death, essentially, I made the decision each time to stay. And at that pivotal moment, there was, you know, there was a definite choice to continue to the other side or to choose to stay. And each time I chose to stay. And through that, the evolution of me, the evolution of my story is just continual change and just learning and growing and trying to understand myself. And I was always seeking externally for that relief or that help. But yet nobody could really ever give me the answers. Mm-hmm. And so I tried lots of different things, lots of different therapies, and nothing really was resolving. And I'd be in workshops and I'd see people taking off and going off on these amazing journeys, and I was still left behind and I just couldn't figure it out. And so just through my own really tapping into my inner, really it's about tapping into your inner self. And that was my journey, was discovering that it was up to me to heal. And a lot of my healing discovery was through a lot of imagery, a lot of dreams. It was through more of a gentle approach, through craniosacral, Bowen, Reiki. And those are all the things that I offer today. And even life coaching was a big part of that. We all have coaches and people that show up in our life at different points, very pivotal times. I've had amazing coaches and mentors, and everybody just seems to show up at the exact time and moment that I needed the information to help me move to the next level. And heeding that information and taking it and looking at how I could help myself, essentially, and but also by being supported by those who were there willing to hold that space.
Mm. You know, some of the healing arts that you offer your own clients, you were originally a client, and then as a result of it, you became a teacher. Some people may not understand what all of those different healing arts mean. So why don't we sort of quickly go through the list of those healing arts that you can, just so that people have an idea of what you're talking about when we move through this. What does Bowen therapy, what does that include?
When you say this, it makes it sound like a big long list, and it kind of is. Bowen therapy is a gentle rolling motion over the muscle ligaments and fascia. It's basically like flipping a switch, sending information to the brain to help you, your body come out of the fight or flight stage into more of a deeper, relaxed state for optimal healing. So it's basically helping your body find the off button to the pain. It's been an amazing journey, both through my own healing experience, but also through my clients. It's a modality that's newer to Canada. It's in 32 countries around the world, and it originates from Australia. And I've had amazing experiences both with therapists here in Calgary, as well as taking on training and development through one of the creators who brought Bowen therapy to the world. They're in their 80s. And Elena Nazi Wrench, and they're still teaching to this day. So they're still living their passion. And they give me great, great strength. And they have so much wisdom and knowledge that I hope one day I'm still at that age, living out my dream and passion and sharing with the world what I love to share. So it's such a gentle therapy that is great for newborns, for the elderly. And I've just seen so many great successes with it from every walk of life and every stage. It amazes me every day.
Mm. It sounds, I haven't been able to have a treatment from you yet. However, I'm very much looking forward to when the timing is right for us to do that. What does craniosacral, is craniosacral and somato the same thing,
or
is
craniosacral, sacral, that's okay, and somato emotional release technique. So they're both hand in hand. They're kind of the same thing. It's just from a different, approaching the body from a different perspective. Craniosacral therapy is working with the cerebral spinal fluid. Our body has a rhythm. So it's like our breath and our heart rate. They're working on their own. without us being in control or thinking about it. And the craniosacral system is very much the same way. So the cerebral spinal fluid cycles through our spine and around the brain, and it works on a closed biological hydraulic system. So if you can imagine, it's kind of like an elevator. So the fluid, as it goes around the brain and back down the spine, it nourishes our nervous system. And basically every bone, muscle, ligament in the body has a rhythm. So by tapping into the cranial sacral rhythm, I can actually listen to your body and it will show me where the restrictions are. And with the somatomotor release through cranial sacral is helping to get to the root of the emotion. So that's the issues in our tissues. So we call them energy cysts. And sometimes through whatever it is, a physical experience of a car accident or a physical experience from an emotional experience, there becomes an energy cyst that can get trapped in our tissue. And with that energy that's trapped in the tissue is trapped that emotion. So when you actually can tap into that and release the emotion from it, it will release out the body, therefore releasing the restriction. So it's extremely powerful because it works on a cellular level. So once you get to that level and release it, it's gone forever.
And is it really that simple where it just disappears? Is there?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's that simple.
Is there anything else to say about it?
There's tons to say about it. It's just working with
I know that's a broad question, but
we store emotions in all of our tissue. It can be in any part of our body, really. And it's just amazing where we choose to store that emotion in the tissue. Whether it's grief or loss, unexpressed sadness, anger, resentment, the list goes on, really. Any type of experience that we have taken a hardship to could be trapped in our tissue. And it just kind of gets filed away. Mm. And we think we're forgetting about it, but it comes to a point where it could be causing our body more harm than anything. So it can cause, that's where the dis-ease comes into place. And right. Therefore it creates illness if it's not treated and dealt with, because it's a blockage in the body. And our body always wants to be in balance. And so when the body is, it's always working around. So it creates a workaround whenever there's a blockage. It's always going to be in balance the best it can. But when it's continuously making workarounds, then it's just causing more stress on the body, which then creates illness.
So when did all of this come into your life? Was it before or after you took the leap and left the corporate world? What came in first?
Way before.
Yeah.
Way before. Well, I was in corporate 2004. I actually was just kind of not happy in my job at the time, and I was contemplating and I was looking, not sure what to do at that point. And so I went out to Canmore, and Canmore is kind of my spiritual place where I've always gone to heal myself and disconnect into nature. And I've always had really amazing and auspicious experiences there. And this particular time I was out, it was October, ironic that we're in October now, or getting into October here. But I was hiking over in one of the mountains, and there was a bunch of ice, and I kind of, on the way in, it was okay. There was a lot of ice, but I was able to make it over. I didn't know what to expect when I got there. I wasn't totally equipped. But when I came back, I was coming back and I was kind of climbing over this mound of ice. And I had made it over the first time, so I thought this can't be that difficult. But when I was coming back, I lost my footing and I practically fell off the face of the mountain. The only thing that stopped me was this tree. It was a little tree. It was about the size of my foot. And I believe that God put it there to stop me from going over. And I was at the edge and I was looking down, and there was literally two ice climbers coming up just underneath. And you know, I lost all my stuff. I mean, thank God my keys were in my pocket still, but I had lost everything else and off the side. I just kind of laid there and found enough. I was by myself and just, you know, got enough energy to ground myself and start climbing back over. And I just kind of laid there like a star and just was thanking God that I was still alive. But when I came off the mountain, just an inner mantra that came out was just confidence and balance. And no matter what happens, no matter how things shake up, is always within us. So when we come from a place of confidence and balance, there's nothing that can get in our way. So that was kind of more the second, but the third near-death experience. I was in 2005, so another year later. And I ended up with blood clots in my legs and lungs, and I nearly suffocated to death. And at that point, I literally made a decision to either, I could have gone or I could have stayed. And I chose to stay because in my heart, I felt there was a bigger purpose. I didn't know what it was at that time. And so when I was going through that experience, I literally surrendered into the illness, and it took me right out of the game. I was literally bedridden for about 10 days. I literally had to learn how to walk and how to breathe. And every day I made it a goal just to get out of bed, just to get up and to get moving. And it was quite the struggle. And I mean, I was off work for about a month, and then I went back to work part-time. But through that journey of coming back was just a lot of just being with myself and you know, just being really present with myself and being present with each goal that I set every day and just trying to achieve that. And it was really kind of cool just to see how my body was responding and how I was responding and how my strength was starting to come back. And, you know, just through that, after that experience, I was just really raw, more raw with pain than I'd ever been. And I couldn't handle a lot of other therapies. So a colleague of mine introduced cranial sacral to me, and I was desperate to try anything, so I did, and it completely changed my life. So I think it was about three or four years worth of treatments that were, you know, ongoing, and it was through cranial sacral and the somato-emotional release technique that I was able to release a lot of the baggage and the sadness and the anger and just a lot of the negative stuff that I was carrying. I was ready to let it go. And that in itself completely changed my life. So, and every session was different. Every experience was different. I still do to this day process through imagery. So I just moved through a lot of the darkness, literally, through dreams, through imagery, and just releasing and letting go of a lot of that armor that we tend to place upon ourselves. And we were talking about it the other day about the 1,000 layers of armor that we tend to build up on ourselves. And it takes a long time to really release and let that go. But that's been my journey and continues to be my journey. But it does get easier and easier every day.
How did you... So that was back in 2004, 2005. When did you make the decision? When did you take that leap to leave the corporate world? Because you had a lot of shifts during that time.
I had a lot of shifts, and I had a lot of people in my life who were supporting me from all levels. But I think I kind of actually remember the year, but it was actually I had worked with a life coach because I was in corporate, but I wasn't fully fulfilled. And I had no idea, no direction, no idea where I was going to go. So when I worked with a life coach, we kind of went through a program of really just cleaning out all that stuff that we've been carrying on a deeper level. And we worked together to find some guidance and a clear design of maybe the direction I wanted to go in. So I had no idea I was going to get into the healing arts. Like, that wasn't even, I'm like, I'm in corporate, I have business training. How could I possibly get into the healing arts? What does that mean? What does that look like? And so we came up with a plan, and I started researching and looking at how could I make this transition? What do I need to do? And where can I go to school? Who do I want to be? So I really got to recreate myself. And so I just started researching and just getting more and more clear direction. So I started going to school. I decided to become a Bowen therapist, and I went to the University of Mount Royal. And went to school part-time, evenings, weekends, worked on that, and then craniosacral, same thing. Really dedicated all of my holidays and vacation time and weekends to all of my training and development. And once I was fully certified, I thought, what the heck, I'm going to open up my own business. So I did. And I gave myself kind of a 5-year plan. I thought it would take a few years to, you know, make it work and get it developed and start building a clientele. And I literally was in alignment with who I was supposed to be, and the universe had a different plan. So I think it was about 6 months. But it, from the time I opened the doors to my business, it was 6 months later that I left corporate fully and really walked away from that and jumped fully into the business that I have today.
What year was that? When did you open Still Points?
I opened Still Point in 2011. So I'm just celebrating my 3rd year anniversary in September. Yes. So 3 years.
Wow. Because when we first met, it was in 2000, and I think it was 2009 through the running room, because we were both learning. We were both taking the time to allow our body to learn to get moving again.
Yeah.
So that was an experience in itself. So
it was, yes. I can't believe it's that long ago.
I know. To think that... from 2004, 2005, you were not happy, to 2009, you know, trying to learn to run again, and hearing your journey in 2005 with the blood clots and everything, that's a pretty significant time in your life. And then 2 years later, you've completely shifted and moved into a completely new way of living. What was it like to take that leap? Like when you, in 2011, when you actually left the corporate world, what was that like? What came up for you?
Oh, it was pretty scary. I think I really had no idea what I was in for. But it was, I really made the decision to, I could have stayed in corporate for probably as long as I wanted to. And, you know, I had an opportunity to move into a job that I really, really was looking to, it was a company I had my eye on for a long time. It was a dream job, what I considered a dream at that time. There were so many exciting things about it, but I knew in my heart that if I didn't make a go, I probably never would have. And so I literally just left. I leapt, literally, and jumped with both feet in. And I was so scared. There was days where I was just like, I have no idea what I was doing. And it was, there was definitely a lot of fear. And it kept me up at night. It woke me up at night. It was, people told me stories of the green fear monster that would take over your life. And I definitely met that monster.
What did that fear look? What did that look like for you?
It was definitely a challenge. I mean, it was, I could have folded and chosen a different path, obviously going back into corporate, but I just knew, and again, I just knew in my heart that that was just not the right path for me. And I was going to make it a go no matter what. So I definitely immersed myself and surrounded myself with, I had healer friends. I had lots and lots of support that just kept showing up in just magical and amazing ways that were just there to support me and to hold space for me. And one of the biggest things I think that got me through that was a lot of my women's groups that I chose to step into and to connect into. And, you know, the support that I was getting at that time was just priceless. Especially being an entrepreneur, there's definitely, it's like a secret club almost. It's like, yeah, you're one of us. We want to take you in and we're going to embrace you and support you. And, you know, it's just a very different mentality of just admiration, support, and just moving forward no matter what. But the people who show up I have so much gratitude for every single person who showed up and continues to show up.
Do you think that's how you overcame the fear, was that willingness to let others in?
Absolutely. It's a willingness to be vulnerable and the willingness to let others in. And, you know, it gets easier and easier to move through the fear, for sure. And every day I'm still learning how to overcome fear, but it gets easier and it's not nearly as big or consuming as it used to be. Mm-hmm. And I've learned to really sit with it and to make the decisions from my heart and really listen to that. Is this the right decision or am I making it from, you know, from fear? If you're making a decision from fear, it's never the right decision. But when you make your decision from your heart and it's a clear, solid decision, of course you're going to succeed.
So let's talk about that a little bit more, because earlier you had indicated that you were living what you considered a dream at that time. Is that part of fear, creating an illusion that what you have is what you want?
Absolutely. I think we're always creating the illusion, and I think the illusion is through fear. And when we make decisions from our fear-based place, then it's not always true. And it keeps us in that drama and that chaos. But when we make decisions from our heart, from a pure place, that's where the magic happens. And that's where that's when you start to be in perfect alignment.
So how does one
become effortless?
How does one recognize when they're in alignment and when they're not? What are some of the red flags or the key things that our listeners could be looking for in their life to help them recognize whether they're on the right journey or not?
Well, I know it's easy to get caught up in the chaos. And when you're in the chaos, you can't think straight. You can't see straight. And the decisions are not always the best that they could be. But to sit in a quiet place and to really hear that knowingness and to feel it through every fiber of your body, and even just to feel where the fear is in your body and sit with it for a minute and just sit with the fear. And it will start to dissipate and disappear, and you'll have more clarity on what it is that you want to decide or what that decision starts to look like. Because I know for myself, the more I make decisions from an aligned perspective of really listening and feeling it in my body, does it feel right? Is it in my stomach? Does it feel right? In my heart, does it feel right? It's always more than right. And the opportunities are boundless and expansive, and they just keep showing up more and more effortlessly.
Well, I remember when I met you, I think it was back in 2012, the early winter of 2012. And I was going through a bit of a transition myself, and everything I was saying ended with, yeah, but, and you kept saying, quit saying, yeah, but. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Only come out at Easter.
What do you think creates those yeah buts? Is that the fear, or is it us trying to justify the life that we have at the time?
I think it's justifying the life that we have at the time, because it's the yeah but I still feel this way. Or when someone's trying to show you something else that you're not seeing, it's the yeah but that still pulls you back into the old story. Yeah, but I'm still tied to that, right? I'm still tied, even though you're not saying that, I'm still tied to the old story. I'm still tied to that cycle, that negative cycle. I'm still tied to the drama. I'm still tied to the chaos.
Right. Because it was a wake-up call for me, and I still have those words come every now and then. I'm like, I'm saying yeah, but dang it, Dixie. They're in my head again.
Awesome. I love it.
So, you know, when I met, when we had that discussion, I was trying to figure out if I was ready to take the leap. And you shared some amazing things with me, but what are some of the lessons that you learned in becoming a fearless entrepreneur when you were going through your transition? Because I was really looking to you as as a trusted advisor in how do I make this transition. So what were some of the lessons that you learned?
Keep moving forward no matter what. Probably one of the key lessons, and it continues to be one of those key lessons. No matter what, you just got to keep moving forward. And it's so easy to get caught up in the fear and the drama. But when it gets easier and easier to recognize when you're in that. And we all have the ability to get ourselves out if we choose to. And I know that my old stories don't serve me anymore. And I don't want those stories anymore. I want new stories. I want exciting stories. I want to live that dream and be in alignment with what my dreams are and achieving them.
Right. Do you think that even though those old stories no longer serve us, they're still part of who we are and what's made us today?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the old patterns, the old stories, the experiences are so powerful in the mold of creating us and who we are today. But it's the choice. And that's where, you come to that edge of deciding, is this the life that I want to continue to create? Or is there something better that I want to create? And that's where I'm always choosing there's something better to create. And I know that that's what happens with my clients too. And that's why they come to work with me, is because they're ready. And I love watching the transformation that they each take, because when they come in, they're stuck in the story, or they're stuck in the cycle, or they're stuck in that chronic pain. And it's really hard to see out when you don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. But through gently opening up the flower for each one of us to shine brilliantly, that each petal is really a story of opening it up into who we really are. We're not covering it. We're not denying it. It's just a piece of that story is so important, but it's do we choose to continue living that story, or do we actually want to start creating a new story? And what does that new story start to look like?
And that really brings us to that evolution, the evolutionary edge, where nothing is yet written and we can create whatever happens next. So when you talk, and I love that, Dixie, I absolutely love that. So when you're on that evolutionary edge and you're just keeping moving forward, does it have to be grandiose all the time, or can it be smaller steps that really help you out?
Absolutely. Of course, I call it the little wins. The little wins create the big win. And it's the every day is just getting up and moving forward. Every day it's making a conscious decision that I'm going to do whatever it takes to move forward, whether it's finding meditations that are in alignment with what you want to work on, or mantras, or I used to have, and I still do, I have cue cards that I write stuff out on that I read all the time at stoplights, or they're in my purse, they're in my books. They're on sticky notes and on the walls in my house. They're on sticky notes in my office around my desk. I write stuff on the, on my walls in my office for some of my clients who know that. You know, there's always things that remind us to keep us moving forward and to keep looking for the gift. And that's where I think we forget to look at our experiences. We need to keep looking for the gift that's in that experience. And the gift is just so powerful, because when we look for the lesson and we take the gift, then it's so much easier to move forward.
So how do you embrace it? Like, you're moving forward, you're starting to live the life that you're envisioning for yourself. And I don't know, is it really envisioning for yourself, or something that you're creating as you move along? What's the difference there, Dixie?
I think it's, we all have dreams, and we all kind of have, I think most people have a goal of what they want to achieve. And it's just, like I said, I think it's the small things every day. We do have the end target in mind of what our ideal life might look like. But I know that mine is consistently changing almost every day. And my life is very different than the life I even dreamt of even last year. It's continuously changing and evolving, and new experiences, new people, new challenges, and reminder challenges. You know, it's like, have you really learned this lesson yet? Yeah, no, I'm ready. I've learned this lesson. You know, we keep getting those repeats to just remind us. Have you really decided to move forward from this? And then it's, you know, a couple years later, it might come back up again for a reminder, but it gets easier and easier to recognize it each time instead of getting sucked back in.
So do you help people with the emotional IQ as well, or do you deal more with just the healing energy?
I think both of it goes hand in hand. I mean, it's definitely what I've discovered as a therapist is it's so important to have your mindset in check as well as your emotional experiences in check and how you react to things and also the physical. So when everything becomes into alignment, then everything will actually shift on a bigger level. Many of my clients, they come in with physical pain because they're under so much stress. But the root of the pain might even be just as simple as, you know, I'm just not getting along with my boss. I'm not getting along with my coworkers, and it adds lots of stress. I've got sick days. I don't want to go to work. And so that piece plays a big part in it. But it's shifting. I believe it's always shifting the mindset to look at, what is it that's going on at the core of this issue? Is it something that I have control over, or is it something I don't have control over? But the truth of the matter is we only ever have control over one thing, and that's ourselves and how we react to situations. Mm-hmm. So it's educating and teaching people that's the best way to resolve any issue is to look at how you are standing in that experience and how you're showing up in that experience. And what is it about you that you can change, and then you will change the outcome.
So can you give us an example of how you help someone find their voice and stand in their power?
I love that one because we're all looking for our voice, I think. And when we fully, and I always say it's not about yelling the loudest or speaking from your truth from anger. It's about coming from a place of love. And when you speak your truth from a place of love, your voice will actually change and your voice comes through so true. And that's when people listen to you, is because you're speaking your truth and it comes from a place of power. And, you know, I've had so many experiences, even people in, I like to use corporate for an example, because that's probably one of the biggest ones that rings true for me, is it's about working with your coworkers and how can you come together to work with each other, not against each other. And, you know, sometimes it's just as simple as going, and I think, Carrie, you and I talked about this quite a bit too, is how can we help our bosses? Everyone's busy and everybody's overwhelmed. And people react out of chaos and drama, and they create more drama and suck people into that void. But how can we allow ourselves not to get sucked in? It's by always coming from a place of being grounded, being centered, and, you know, looking at your reaction and your choice of words that you're contributing to the situation. You know, one of my amazing clients, we've been working together for a few years, and it's been amazing to watch her evolve, because as she's been using those different techniques, she's not only won her boss over, she's been doing amazing things. She's had rave reviews in her performance reviews and gone on for multiple promotions, you know? And so when you can actually learn to always come from your authentic self, you can't help but grow and continue on being the best person that you can be. And people start to see that. They see you shine. And they want people who shine. And they want people who are going to be teamwork, working with the team and being a great supporter and cheerleader. But not from a selfish point of view. It's always from an authentic point of view. And that's when you're going to have the most success.
So because you talk about the opportunities are limitless, and that obviously is what you, when you start to speak in your voice, stand in your power, when you're grounded and centered, and you're not reacting, you're actually responding and creating. What does a magical life look like? What does it mean to live a magical life?
I think magical life is with ease and grace. Everything that, when you're living in true alignment of who you are, everything just starts to show up in such an easier way. Opportunities start to just show up magically. And people are like, oh, hey, I was thinking about you. How can we align? How can we work together? What can we do to make this a win-win or a success for both of us? So you strategically get to, I think, your magical life is being surrounded by people who love and support you and are there to continue to hold that space for one another, whether it's highs or lows. But the more highs that you have in an authentic way and the more in truth that you are with yourself, the less lows that you have. And even if the lows that do show up, they're not quite as heavy as they used to be. And so I believe the magical life is really thinking and being who you are. And when you think it, it just shows up and it appears. It's like it's the power of the law of attraction or the power of manifestation. It is such a simple concept. But when you are in true alignment of that, it can't help but not appear for you. And that's where the magic happens.
For those of us who have experienced what this is like, the law of attraction, the manifestation, it seems so obvious, yet so many people have so much resistance to believing that it could be that simple. Why do you think there's such resistance?
Because that's a fear. And really, it's fear is like a blindfold. And if you don't want to see, you're not going to see. And if you want to stay in that fear-based consciousness and operating from fear, then, and you believe that it's not going to happen, then of course it's not going to happen.
I have a question for you. When you're working with people, can you actually feel their experiences or see what experiences are woven together?
Sometimes. sometimes. It depends on the person. I've had lots of very interesting experiences where I do see what's in the body, sometimes what they're holding or where they're holding it, or I don't know. I don't even know what to call it. It's that level of intuition where the body shows and tells me where I need to support it and where I need to hold. And it can be very magical. It can be very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
When the body feels safe enough to start to release and respond. So yeah, definitely there's the physical therapies, which are a big part of healing. But there's also, I guess, the intuitive side where I see the threads that are all interconnected, from the story of our physical life right into the physical body. And some of the ailments and illnesses, the emotional side that's attached to that illness. So it's all interconnected. And, I don't know. I thought maybe everybody was this way, but maybe they're not. Where I see the bigger story, and I know what's at the root of a lot of it, quite effortlessly.
Well, and I think that's what makes you such a powerful evolutionary body whisperer, because not everyone has that innate ability or that intuitive sense to help people figure out what is actually going on with them. So it's a very special gift that you have, Dixie, and I really want you to know that it's very special what you have. How do you help people find their path? Because this is obviously your purpose in life, is to help others figure out what their purpose and passion is, and using their physical sensations as a key indicator to move them into something even bigger and better. When you sit back and you look at your life now, what goes through your mind compared to where you were in 2003?
Wow. What goes through my mind? I'm so grateful, I think. And that's one of the core pieces of growing and evolving is really being thankful and full of gratitude for all the goodness that shows up. I mean, even the bad, whatever comes up is there to continue to teach us a lesson. Not everything is rose colored all the time, but it's, I have to say, wow. I mean, I'm enjoying my life. I have had amazing experiences. I love to travel and I continue to travel. And the travel that I do now is a little bit different than what I used to do. But I'm more on a spiritual path and more spiritual experiences to gain more clarity in how I can support myself as well as others. And through that, it's just a constant awareness of just always learning to be present. And that's what I'm grateful for, I think, is just all those people who have shown up along the way, the people who I thought didn't deserve to be there, but they also are a gift because they showed me what I needed to see.
Mm.
So I'm grateful for everything that has happened, but I'm still in awe. And so many other things are coming down the pipe for me too, and it just keeps, how does it get any better than this? It keeps getting better every day.
And so you are living what you're helping others do. You're living a magical life.
Absolutely.
And the fact that you're able to look at that and go, wow, and that be in that sense of awe means that you are appreciating every single moment that's coming your way. I love it when the teacher is practicing what they teach. Where did Still Point Body Works come in? I'm kind of curious.
Like the name or?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a funny, that's a funny story. I actually had a whole different name picked out and I had a business plan and I had a property all picked out and it didn't quite go the way I had planned and then I had to start from scratch again. So I had logos and everything designed for the other company. And when I had to start from scratch again, I was like, oh, it's a lot of work to think of another name. And truthfully, just the name came up, Still Point Body Works. And, it's kind of, I didn't even think about it much, but one of the books that was very pivotal in my evolution, I guess, in my awakening, you could say, was the book Anatomy of the Spirit by Carolyn Mace. And I read that way before I even got interested in the healing arts. I didn't really even know. But she had talked about Still Point as I think she even had a business name, Still Point. And then Still Point also is part of craniosacral, where it's an absolute moment of quiet that's in the body. So it's literally, it's that stillness. It's almost like stillness of clarity. That allows the body to just release and just to be in a place of peace. And I just love the name Still Point, and I test marketed it with a few of my friends and colleagues and just got lots of feedback, and everybody loved it. So that's what I went with.
Nice. I love the name, and I'm always like asking, where did that name come from? Where did it stem from? When I'm looking at your Facebook page, and I noticed that you just finished a Reiki session, and it looks like you're actually outside teaching Reiki on a terrace. Tell me a little bit about your Reiki, because you're not just using Reiki on your clients, you actually teach others how to do Reiki. So tell us a little bit about your Reiki experiences and how awesome this was.
Well, Reiki, I absolutely love teaching. I think teaching is such a gift. I've always taught people from many years ago. It just always came natural on guiding people and showing people the way, showing people the ropes, welcoming people into companies and setting them up for success the best way that I could. And always knowing where things were. So naturally, I guess I've evolved into a teacher. and in other ways. And Reiki for me, Reiki, it definitely is energy work. It's a Japanese-based teaching, and I had been drawn to it since I was a young girl, probably 15 maybe was the first time I got introduced to it. But my favorite thing to do is actually to teach Reiki. I love teaching one-on-one, which is what we did yesterday. So I had 5 students yesterday, and it was such a beautiful day that we went out on the terrace for the afternoon and did healing in the sunshine. It was quite lovely. But just through teaching the principles of Reiki and the technique of Reiki it's a spiritual practice and it's a spiritual evolution. And it's just so powerful because you can use Reiki for anything. And it's tapping into the oneness. Just another way to tap in because it is there for us. It's there to use. It's a part of us. And Reiki is just a form to, show people the technique on how to tap into the oneness energy. And animals, it's fantastic for animals and plants and gardening. It's fantastic on even just how to set up a room and make it feel like a beautiful place that you want to be in. It's just, again, we all have that within ourselves. It's just teaching people how to tap into it.
Before we wrap up, where can people find out all about you and all of this amazing stuff that you're experiencing, that you're offering, and all the new things that are coming into your world?
Well, you can find me at stillpointbodyworks.ca. I've got a Facebook page, Stillpoint Bodyworks on Facebook. I've got my personal page, Dixie Bennett, on Facebook as well. And, you can check me out, leave some messages. You can contact me through email or phone. All the contact information is there.
Excellent. And I notice on your website, there's also a newsletter. What goes out in your newsletters?
Usually announcements of events, courses that I'm offering. And I haven't been very diligent in getting those out, but that is something I'm working on, and just getting more content together to send that out more continuously. So there will be, my newsletters. I've got a fair number of followers, which is always lovely to see, and always a compliment that people want to be added in. So definitely, if you want to stay abreast of what's going on and what kind of courses I'm offering, I have a course coming up in October, starting October 7th. It's called Tapping Into Your Inner Wisdom. And 12 lucky people will get to go through an 8-week program with me of learning how to really tap into who you are and really learning to listen to your inner guidance, not inner wisdom that's all within us. So it's going to be an exciting 8-week opportunity. And, many more things coming out over the next few months as well. So like you, Carrie, lots of great opportunities. But, I too have to remind myself to take a step back and to breathe and, remind myself to be supported and guided through the opportunities to make sure that they're right for me.
Absolutely love that. Any last words you'd like to say before we wrap up this portion of the call or the show?
No, thank you so much for having me, and thanks for asking me to be a part of this. And I'm honored to know you, and I just have to tell you I'm so proud of you and seeing you grow and flourish in all the different areas that you've moved into as well. It's like you said, we've known each other for a while, and it's really exciting to see when the people in your life are growing and expanding limitlessly as well. So
yes,
doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dixie, and thank you for allowing me to work through some of my breathing issues today while we were talking. I would love to have you back. Thank you so much for joining us. Everyone who's listening, thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.